discouraging, dispiriting, negative voices, as was Paul's life in harsh, ignorant, spoiled brat, first century Corinth. Aging isn't for the faint of heart. It is very sobering for me to know I'll never do some of the things I dreamed of doing as a young man, and also to know that there are things I did do that I will never do again. Outwardly, I am wasting away. But again, because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, I have a power available to me to be renewed day by day, if I believe that it is God's good pleasure to give that power to me, and it is God's good pleasure. It is by virtue of that power in Paul's life that he was able to see his sufferings as light and momentary troubles that were achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs all of those troubles. Because Jesus rose from the dead, you and I who believe are empowered to have that perspective, which is so counter to what the world, our flesh, and the devil would have us believe.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ is all about hope. Whereas Metal Sunday is all about Elliot. Hope is what we have because Jesus rose from the dead. As you take a look at this passage, it says that God will raise us with Jesus Christ. The idea is this: Jesus was first. We will be raised in the same way, in what the theologians call a glorified body. I know we're already pretty glorious, right? But we're talking about a body that's not subject to the ravages of nature, or oxidation, or disease, or damage. And Jesus' resurrection was a promise. It was a guarantee. It was a living example of what we will experience. That's what the hope is about. Everyone who is a part of God's family, part of his kingdom, has this wonderful hope and promise. Everyone who is a part of God's family, part of his kingdom, has this hope and promise. If you're not a part of God's family, or you're not sure, please make sure. If our hope is only for this life, we're in sad shape. Because, as Steve said, he's definitely getting older. And I would love to listen to your questions and answer them to the best of my ability about how to have this hope, to be sure of this hope. I really would. I really enjoy that. And the hope is that you will get a new body, a resurrection body, a glorified body, and it won't get old or hurt or damaged or worn out. And I hate to admit it, but some of you are getting older. You know who you are. I'm pretty sure what Paul is telling us is this. Don't worry about it. You can't reverse aging. But these bodies are only a temporary housing for us. We don't even know the expiration date. If you look, I've looked under my armpit. No expiration date. I don't know. I could be riding my bike down in Oak Ridge and get hit by a truck. And live through it. Hallelujah, amen. But I tell you, you feel it. So even though, as Paul says elsewhere, physical exercise has some benefit, but spiritual exercise is much better for now and forever. So it's fine to try and keep our physical bodies in good shape. You know, that's a good thing. But we still don't know the expiration date. We still don't know. Because this here body is temporary. Even the mental functions will all wear out. That's what happens. Isn't that right, Kathy? She wouldn't know, but I would. That's fair. Thanks for coming to her defense. So last week I was at Beth's dad's memorial service. He passed away at age 90. And the funny thing about Kermit is that he really believed that he would live to be 121 years old. The reason he thought he would live to be 121 years old is because just after World War II, he visited Nagasaki. And he thought because of the radiation that he would live to be 121. As you can see, his mental faculties were starting to wear out a little bit. But we can't even control that. It will wear out. We are promised right here that we will also be raised. So our hope is not in this life. It's beyond this life.
Yes.
Our troubles won't last. In fact, from God's accurate perspective, our troubles are very light. They're momentary. Like at the dentist when he says, you might feel a little pinch. Okay, maybe not a good analogy. You guys don't like dentists? I'm okay with a dentist. I trust dentists. Maybe I've just had good ones. I don't know. But he says, our present troubles are small and they won't last long. Our light and momentary troubles. And it just doesn't seem that way, does it? It doesn't seem to us like our troubles here on this earth are light and momentary. Sometimes we wonder when we're going to get through them. Sometimes we think we can't even stand it. How do you change your perspective on that? Because right here it says it's not true. It says they're light and they're temporary. Beth and I weren't married when we did our first overnighter. Get your heads out of the gutter here. I'm talking about a youth group overnighter, right? Our middle school, I was working with middle schoolers, and we had a middle school overnighter, and there were about 30 kids. They invited their friends, because there were only 15 in our group, and they invited their friends. And at the middle school, I learned a lot in 24 hours. One, never, ever do an overnighter with middle schoolers. Am I right? Yeah. How stupid do you have to be? I was younger. But here was an interesting thing. One of the girls that was there from our youth group met a new boyfriend there. And then they broke up. And then they got back together, all in the space of 12 hours. It was pretty entertaining, though, when that girl came up to Beth and me and was just weeping and crying and sobbing and sad because she'd broken up with her boyfriend she had just met. And it was all I could do not to laugh. Like, are you kidding me? Who cares? They're going to be over this in 2 weeks at the top. Turns out she was over it in a couple hours. But it was all I could do not to laugh out loud. I wanted to say to her, sweetheart, it's really not a big deal. But it would have been insensitive, you know, to say something like that. In fact, it was just a couple hours. But it's funny how just being 15 years older than this young lady gave me such a deeper perspective on relationships and how light and momentary her troubles really were. But to her, they felt like the end of the world. Can you imagine God sees our troubles that way? Do you imagine that he can look at us and say, come on, it's nothing. I know you feel it. I hope he's not holding back his laughter. But I sense that God says, get over it, Dan. I know, it seems like a big deal. It seems like a big deal. It's called reality. Paul is trying to tell us the same kind of thing. Trust God's perspective. The troubles in this life are momentary and they're light. And I know that your experiences are painful and harsh right now, and I don't mean to underestimate them. I also believe that we, as the family of God, are called to help each other out through our suffering. I think that's one of the reasons that we're here. But it's not worth being compared to what awaits. I cannot express to you, because the English language fails me here, how Paul says this. He uses a double superlative here. It's exceedingly, exceedingly, because words fail him. It's the Hebrews, the Hebrew language does that. It's like when God created the heavens and the earth, it was good. And when God created human beings, it was good. Tob, tob. That's how they do it. They just put two together, you know? But here, Paul uses his Hebrew training and says, it's exceedingly, exceedingly beyond measure. So it's the word that we get hyperbole from. Hyperbole is when you exaggerate something intentionally, right? And he says, when you exaggerate what awaits you beyond recognition, and then you exaggerate that exaggeration beyond recognition, you haven't even come close to what awaits you. You can stretch human language beyond its breaking point and not come close to describing the joy and wonder and glory that is before you. Your earthly body could not handle that joy. In fact, he talks about it as a weight of glory. The word we get barometer from, barometric pressure, weight. That glory is so amazing, your body, your earthly body couldn't handle it. You'd explode or implode. My dear friends, this is the amazing, unimaginable promise of the resurrection. As we celebrate the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus in communion today, let's remember not only that he overcame death and sin on the cross, but that he also gave us the promised hope of his and our own resurrection. We're about to take the elements of communion, and it's a symbol of Jesus' death. And Paul the Apostle and Jesus himself reminds and says, every time you do this, remember me, remember what I did for you. And it's an example of his love for us, that it came to the point of his body being broken and his blood being spilled for us. And Easter, we recognize that it didn't end there. It wasn't just that he took all of our sin upon him and spilled his blood and had his body pierced for us and died on the cross, but that he rose from the dead, which was evidence that his sacrifice was, as they say, efficacious. It worked. It did the trick. Our sin is gone. God has nothing against us. And it also gives us that hope. I'm going to ask you now to come forward and take the elements back to your table, and then I'll direct you through the taking of the elements. All of the bread is gluten-free for you people, so that's up here. So come on up. There's two areas. I'd like Doug to come up and break the bread on this side, and I'll break this bread. What happened the night before Jesus' crucifixion when he was with his disciples. And Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Take and eat. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it." Take and drink. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes. And I would add that we're announcing that he rose from the dead and that we are people of the resurrection. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are nothing but grateful. We are in awe of your love for us. And Lord, we ask that you would help us in our own suffering, in our own grief, in our own loss, to have your heavenly perspective, to trust you that indeed our troubles are light and momentary, even if at the moment they feel incredibly burdensome. Help us to fix our gaze on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. You who, for the joy set before you, suffered the cross and despised its shame. Lord, we give ourselves to you. We trust in you. We look forward to an eternity with you. In Jesus' name. Yes.